Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 22. And Brother Mike and I had made a commitment when we meet together to focus on the kingdom and focus on the church. And so tonight I want to talk to you about this subject, the church, the holy temple of God, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Everybody find your place? All right, let's stand in honor of the reading of God's word if you're able. And we're going to just read a few verses tonight. And our people, my people here at Trinity know when I tell them there's only two verses, that means I preach longer. But anyway, we're in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit of God. The church, the holy temple of God. Let's pray. Brother Ray, would you pray for us?
Father, we thank you for the word of God that really challenges us. As Pastor read this passage, we can see a lot of life in it. We can see a lot to gain. We can see and understand what this passage means and how it can bless our hearts. And Lord, steady us in the word of God. I pray you bless our pastor tonight as he preaches. Just be with him in a special way. Father, teach us from the reading and preaching of the word of God to be better Christians, to be more outgoing, to be a better witness. Lord, we want to be better. We're not satisfied with where we're at tonight. We want to be better. So we ask your blessings on us in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Tonight would be more doctrinal, okay? More than exhortational, more doctrinal. And I want to talk to you about the church, the holy temple of God. There are many names or metaphors in the New Testament for the church: the body, the bride, family of God, fellowship, army, priesthood, golden lampstand, you see that in Revelation, one loaf, vineyard, field, a city of God, the elect, sheepfold, and the household and temple of God, which is used in our text here. In our text tonight, the Apostle Paul is talking about Jews and Gentiles together in the household of God, in the holy temple of God. The church today is a living, growing temple.
Amen.
And when it's completed, now you know, you might want to use that word build a building or whatever, but it's the same thing in our text here we're talking about. It's a living, growing temple, and when it's completed, guess what? Christ is coming in all his glory and going to take the temple home to be with him. Amen?
Amen?
And we're looking forward to that time. In the Old Testament, God dwelt in tabernacles. He dwelt in earthly temples. He dwelt in the temple of Christ's body. But guess what? He indwells you, the believer. And he indwells the church. See, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. What a privilege it is to be the very habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen? Do you grasp that? To be the holy habitation of God the Spirit. Now, as we look at this text, I want to share with you three key foundational components of the New Testament church. And everything else the church does comes from this text, okay? But these are three key foundational components of the church. Number one, the foundation. Look in verse 20 again, if you will. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So the foundation is not so much the apostles and prophets, but their teaching that they got from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we remember when the early church met together in Acts chapter 2, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, didn't they? So the apostles and the prophets are foundational when it comes to divine revelation that they taught. What you have in your hand is what they received. Amen? And that's what the Word of God talks about in the New Testament. You have in your hands the foundation of the church, the teachings of the apostles and the prophets. Of course, we know that Christ, in a sense, was the foundation, but he's more of the chief cornerstone, which I'm going to talk about in just a moment. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, For no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus, on Christ and on his teachings. See? If any church has left the Word of God, if any church has left the teachings of Christ, they're no longer a church, right? They have apostatized. You know, we hear about a lot of apostasy going on today, and it's going to be on the increase. And I submit to you that they never were in the body of Christ. You know, a believer can't apostatize. A believer will continue. Amen? But they just fall away knowing that they've never been in the body of Christ. Now, I want to look at these two offices here, first of all, the office of apostle and the office of prophet. Now, we know that apostles were foundational to the early church. They established the teaching of the church. And some years later, the Holy Spirit called to their remembrance what Jesus had told them, and they wrote it down. What you have in your hands is what Jesus taught them. They authenticated their message and their office by signs and wonders. 2 Corinthians 12:12, right? They were authenticating gifts, if you will. That's why they were foundational, the 12. They were foundational. We do not have the 12 with us today or any subsequent apostles, regardless of what you see the van go by your place and says apostle so-and-so and prophet so-and-so. They were foundational. They're not for the day. They don't meet the criteria, the four criteria of what it meant to be one of the 12. Number one, they haven't been called by Christ personally. Number two, they hadn't seen the resurrected Lord. Number three, they were not with Jesus in his earthly ministry. And number four, they can't do the signs of an apostle in 2 Corinthians 12:12. So if you ever run across one of these jokers, just ask them, what is your criteria? Why are you an apostle? Have you been able to do these four things? Now, we can't add to these four. By the way, the apostle Paul was an apostle called in due time to the apostles. In 1 Corinthians 15, he calls himself separate from the 12. Yeah, you know, when Judas, the son of the devil, when he did what he did, the early church met and chose Matthias to take his replacement. And then Paul comes along in due time, an apostle to the Gentiles. By the way, you can only lay one foundation to a building. Am I correct? Amen. Only one foundation can be laid. You don't keep laying the foundation, right, Brother Mike? You're getting like my people now. You're going to have to respond, brother. You can't lay but one foundation. Preachers are bad about that. They don't know where we're going, right? But you don't lay but one foundation, see? One face. Everything else after this foundation of the apostles and the prophets and the chief cornerstone is the building. You got me? So you don't lay but one foundation here. A building has only one foundation. Now let's look at prophets in our text there. Notice that. In verse 20, they're named together and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So we see that apostles and prophets, they're foundational in regards to the teaching that they gave, right? So both are listed as foundational gifts, okay? They're not for today. Prophets speak. They were prophets. And by the way, this is prophets in the New Testament, not prophets in the Old Testament. There were prophets in the New Testament up until the canonization of Scripture. And they gave direct revelation from God to the people. That was their part. They are associated here with the foundation. Apostles and prophets were the foundation. And so they're listed with the apostles. They spoke the word of God, direct revelation from God. Brother Mike and I, when we get up, we don't speak direct revelation from God. Y'all know that by listening from us, right? What we speak is illumination to what's already been revealed in the word of God, right? We expound on what the Holy Spirit says in his word. But they spoke the word of God to the church before the canonization of Scripture. Now, the fact that they're identified with the foundation here, apostles and prophets, lets us know that they were limited in a certain foundational period. With the death of the Apostle John, when he got off the Isle of Patmos and went back to Ephesus, those kind of gifts ceased, okay? By the way, I did some study this past week, and because I've been asked this by other people who think that prophets are for today, regardless of what. By the way, you ever notice how most prophets going by in the van and they're a prophet, they're mostly women? You ever notice that? Okay, you hadn't, but I just told you, amen? As you study 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32, is the last mention of prophets being active in the New Testament. And that was A.D. 55. So there were 19 other epistles written after 1 Corinthians. None of them refer to prophets as being active. They always refer to them in the past tense. See? All the way up to A.D. 96, no other mention of the prophets. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And y'all know that text. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastor teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And y'all know that, and y'all been taught that, that God has given gifted men to the church to equip the church for the work of the ministry, right? I like to die one time in Tallahassee Hospital early in my ministry because I ended up falling into the trap of the super hired holy man. I had to do everything. Right, and I didn't cope with that well. And I ended up in Tallahassee. My heart rate had went down to about 25, and while I was visiting somebody else in the hospital, I praise God I was in the hospital, and I praise God I was in Tallahassee. Amen. And I wasn't at some kind of veterinarian clinic. Amen. And the Bible says God's given gifted men to the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's another passage I want to share with you, 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, see it? First apostles, second prophets. See, there's foundation to this. There's adding on to this. And thirdly, teachers. So what we see is the apostles and the prophets gave way in the New Testament church to evangelists and pastor teachers. Pastors and teachers were not foundational. We are part of the building, right? The foundation was the apostles and the prophets here to come along to edify and teach the church and train the church for the ministry. The pastor doesn't do all the ministry. He equips you for the work of the ministry, right? And you in turn go out and do the ministry, and then the body of Christ is built up, right? And so I've learned in my ministry, people will let you do whatever you do, right? And so we need to understand that these are edifying gifts. The pastors, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers come along after the foundation, okay? So that's why we're not going to look at those tonight, because they're not part of the foundation, okay, in our text here. Now, not only do we see the foundation, but secondly, we see a second key fundamental component of the New Testament church, and that's the chief cornerstone. Of course, that's Christ. Look in verse 20 of our text. Look in the latter part. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, y'all saw the picture a while ago on the screen about the chief cornerstone, right? And you got to have that cornerstone set just right. I'm not a builder. Outside, after we first got married, I thought I'd build a little building and put our washer and dryer at it outside, and I got my uncle to help me. Or I helped my uncle, right? And even with my uncle helping me, I hated to put a square on that building, you know? It didn't look too good. But the cornerstone's the strongest stone in the building, right? It had to be precisely laid. You get off on the cornerstone, the building's going to be out of whack. Because it supports and squares the whole building, okay? As you saw in the picture a while ago. Jesus Christ is the standard for the whole building, isn't he? He is the support and centerpiece and unity of the whole building. And if Jesus Christ is not the chief cornerstone of any so-called church, and a lot of today are like the Laodicean church. They're trying to do church with Jesus on the outside. Jesus is knocking, trying to get into his own church. See, that's the interpretation of the church at Laodicea. And if they're not built upon the cornerstone, so many have left the teachings of Christ and called themselves a church. Amen. And it can't happen that way. I'm reminded of what Isaiah 28:16 says. Therefore says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure stone. He that believes shall not make haste. In Acts chapter 4, Peter picks up on this in Acts chapter 4, 11 and 12, where he talks about the chief cornerstone being Jesus Christ, and they had rejected the only way of salvation. There was no other way of salvation. See, if Christ is not the cornerstone in the local church, then you don't have a church, you have a club. And you're going to be worshiping the Antichrist when the rapture comes takes place. Amen? Amen. You'll be left behind. So the church is not built on social programs. We have that today a lot, don't we, Brother Mike? Okay, do this. We have that a lot today. They're built on social programs. They left the gospel. Man's need is we need to clothe them and feed them. Yes, that's important. But they, first of all, they're sinners on their way to hell, and they got to hear the gospel, right? And they've got to believe. And so the church is not built on social programs. It's not built on club membership. In fact, I think if the church was a club, we'd have to close our doors, right? You know it? If the church was a business, we'd already have to close our doors. How many of you are business owners here tonight? Brother Rex runs Rex Guns. And Brother Ray? Okay. What would you do on any given Sunday when half your help showed up? Right? And what was there didn't decide they weren't going to do that work that day, right? So this is the way the church is, folks. When the pieces are not in place, we're dysfunctional. And we can't operate that way. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." So we see the foundation. We see the chief cornerstone. But then there's a third key component here, foundational component, to the church as a church or a building or a temple. And that's the stones in verse 21 and 22. Notice with me, "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." You say, "Well, Brother Ken, I didn't read anything there about a stone." Well, I'm going to tell you where it fits in right here, okay? In just a second here. Notice what he says in verse 21. In whom Christ, the chief cornerstone. Chief cornerstone means first. In whom all other stones are laid upon him. And we enter the temple by a confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? Amen. There's no other way. We observed the Lord's Supper this morning. Lord's Supper is for those who have repented of their sins and believed in Christ and have been baptized and have united with the local New Testament church. And we observed that ordinance this morning here. We don't come in, we don't join a club, we don't walk an aisle, and we just, you know, get mama and granddaddy, grandmama off our back. We have been convicted by the Holy Spirit after we heard the gospel. We repented of our sins and asked Christ to come into our heart. We acknowledge he is Lord, and we confess him as Lord, and we understand our need of him, that we are sinners in need of salvation, and it's going to be a dire front for us if we don't do that. In whom, the chief, we entered the temple by confession of faith in Jesus. Now notice what else it says there. We're just going to take this phrase by phrase in verse 21 and 22 here. He says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together." Fitly framed together means that every part is carefully joined to fit snug in the temple, okay? It's so that the temple can be strong. When all the believers are fitly snugged in the temple, in the right place, the building is stronger. And right where God wants us to be. You know, God has placed you right in the body of Christ where he wants you to be. And he has given you the gifts that he wants you to use right where he has placed you in the body of Christ. Everybody can't be pastor. Can I get an amen there? Everybody can't be a deacon. Everybody can't be a Sunday school teacher. Everybody can't be a greeter. Can't be an usher. Everybody can't, whatever, be the sound person, right? God has placed us in the body of Christ and gifted us to carry out the gifts that he has given us to carry out. He's gifted you and placed you right where he wants you to help be a part and support of the temple, in support of the chief cornerstone. So what does that mean then? That means that every stone is important and needful, right? In the body of Christ. You say, "Brother Ken, I still don't see stone in the text." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Peter says, "You as living stones are built up in spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." You see the foundation, apostles and teachers, the chief cornerstone laid on them, and then comes along in this temple, stones are added one by one, right? And the temple is being built, okay? And we are stones. Peter says we are living stones. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let me give you Ken's version of that. That means find out your place in the body of Christ and get busy. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what it means. Notice what else he says here. It groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord in verse 21. It means these living stones continue to be added to the temple, right? They continue to be added to the temple, laying upon the chief cornerstone. If they're laid, they're not laid on the chief cornerstone, they're going to fall away. They're not going to make it. They're not going to stand the test of God's judgment. If you're laid on the foundation of the apostolic teaching, is Jesus Christ the chief cornerstone, you will endure. And so stones are continued added. Y'all see the stones now in verse 21 and 22?
Amen.
What else? I mean, the building is built by stones, right? Upon the foundational gifts here. And it will not be complete until the last stone is in place, right? I don't know when that's going to be, but the Bible tells us in Romans 11:25, when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, God's going to take us out, and he's going to begin his prophetic program with the nation of Israel, right? I know y'all like us, Northside. Y'all support Israel, amen?
Right.
We do. I mean, if you don't, you're going to be cursed. If you bless Israel, you'll be blessed, right? And so that's why we support Israel. God, when the last stone is set in place, and only God knows that. I don't know. It may be tonight. We may not even have a chance to do the fellowship and the refreshments. Oh my, but we're going to heaven, amen?
Amen?
And so, but when that last stone is put into place, he's coming to take the temple to glory and be with him forever and ever. I understand, you know, we have a mindset that God's not working. But I got news for you. God's working where we don't see him work.
Amen.
He's always working. Do you know that, from best I can understand and research, the church in Africa is the fastest growing Christian church in the world? In Africa. Okay? Now, what we have to do, what we look at many times, is the old hardened Bible belt, hardened to the gospel. But I want to tell you, God is working all over the world. Amen? And stones are being added to the church. And God has designed the church. He designed the temple just like he wants it. And the sooner we find our place and begin to work, the sooner we're going to be happy in the Lord. Okay? Now notice verse 22. In whom? There's that in whom again. One must come by the chief cornerstone and his teachings. And we go out with the gospel. Once we're added into the temple, we go out with the gospel to add other stones to the building. You see what I'm saying? We go out, and that's how it's added. Christ is going to build his church, yes, but he's going to do it through faithful believers who share the gospel, right?
Amen.
And so stones are added one upon another until he comes, takes the temple home to be with him. And then lastly, look at verse 22. It says, you are also built together for a habitation of God. This carries the idea of a permanent home. Do you know that Christ indwells you and he indwells the temple, the church? And he's never going to leave us or forsake us, right? And we certainly believe in the doctrine of eternal security for those that are saved, right? And he's never going to leave his church. Now, let me say this. He lives in you, and he's here with us today because we brought him with us, right?
Yeah.
We often say, well, I'm going to go to church and meet God. No, you brought God with you, right? And I hope you left him in good shape when he got here, right? And you bring God with you. And he inhabits his church, the church as a whole. He lives in the church universal. He lives in the local church. And he lives within you. Okay? Now, that's an amazing God right there, right? That can do all of that here. God in the Spirit makes his earthly sanctuary in the church. And the church of all ages, not just the church that we see, but the church of all ages, the church in heaven and the church on earth, right? And in the local church and the believer's body. So the church is eternal. We are part of a building that's eternal. You live in houses, don't you? You have to, in need of continual repair, right? And anything left to itself without repair and attention is just going to go down, right? And so this is the way, even our bodies, our temples of the Holy Spirit, they go down, don't they, right? Man, I wish I was 30 again, you know? And, well, I wish I was 30 and knew what I knew at 65. I know it. Y'all can't believe I'm 65 years old. I know that. But I wish I had the knowledge back when I was 30. Amen. I would have done some things different. And in that regard here. You know, we sing a song. I don't know if y'all sing it. I don't know if we've ever sang it ourselves. But, Lord, make me a living sanctuary. You ever heard of that song? Lord, make me a living sanctuary. Now, I want to ask you a question. I don't want you to be ashamed, but what's wrong with the title of that song? Lord, make me a living sanctuary. We already are living sanctuaries, right? We already are living sanctuaries. But notice it's through the Spirit there in verse 22. In whom also you are builded together in the habitation of God through the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. In fact, all the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all involved in our salvation, right? Ephesians chapter 1. It is the Spirit who draws us, convicts us when we hear the gospel rightly given. It is this Holy Spirit that imparts spiritual life to us, that seals us until the day of redemption. It is the Holy Spirit that gifts the believer for service in the temple, right? It is the Holy Spirit that places us in Christ. That's the true baptism of the Spirit in Corinthians. You are placed into the body of Christ. You are in union with Christ, an inseparable union. You are immersed into his life or his death, his burial, and his resurrection, right? You are in the body of Christ. He places us there. And the Bible says that he places us in a temple where it pleases him. I didn't ask God to call me to preach, you know. If I knew everything I was going to have to endure for the last 26 years, I'd said, no, no, no way, Jose, get somebody else. But you know, Jeremiah, he preached what? How many years? 40, what was it? And he never had one single convert. Boy, you're talking about discouragement and depression, right? But the rewards of the pastorate are innumerable, right? And the heartaches come with it, right?
Amen.
That's it. That's part of the business here. So these three key foundational components, and let me give them to you lastly as we close in a different way. The foundation. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The one place you ought to hear truth is in the Bible. I mean, is in the church, right?
Amen.
Number two, the chief cornerstone. What does that mean? Jesus is the only way to heaven. There are many people today that have left that. He's one of many ways. No, he is the way to heaven. And then the stones. Jesus promised to build his church through our faithful witness. God's never called me to build a church. He's never called me to save a soul. He's called me to be faithful. Amen? And that's what he's talking about. The church, the temple of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, no invitation.